Accession number 27312, Reel 1.
Ken Ryland, Reel 1. Can you tell me, first of all, where you were born?
Painswick, in Gloucestershire.
Yeah. And what did your father do?
He was head gardener.
Uh-huh. For a big house, was this?
Or? Yeah, on an estate.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Two brothers and a half-sister.
And where did you go to school?
Painswick.
And did you like school?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
Why was that?
I don't know. I suppose I, like most children, I'd rather play than learn.
Did you do sport?
We didn't do a lot of sport, no. I did play rugby for the school, against the school, my elder brother was at, but we never had a team of any description.
Because it's a rugby town, isn't it, Painswick?
Oh yes, we've always been a rugby.
And what did you enjoy doing in your spare time when you were a child?
Well, of course we lived on an estate where we had plenty of fields around, and we were very close to the Painswick Golf Club. And from a very early age, we were up on the golf course. And we've all been playing golf ever since. Well, I've recently had to give it up because I suffer with my back.
So, was it a happy childhood?
Very, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
And did your mother go out to work?
No. I can safely say no. I mean, she may have gone down to help at the big house if they were short or anything like that, but not a regular job, no.
Right. And what age did you leave school?
14.
Uh-huh. And what did you want to do? Did you have any ambitions as to what you wanted to do?
Not really. The post office manager in Painswick wanted me to be the telegram boy. But Mother said, oh no, you'd want to ride a boat on bicycles all winds and weather. And then Dad said, how would I like to work with him? So that's how I finished up. I'm working under my father in the gardens.
In the gardens, yeah. They were big gardens, were they?
Yeah. I worked with him in the vegetable garden, and they had a college-trained lady gardener, and I worked in the Alpine garden and herbaceous with her, and then the handyman showed me how to mow the lawns and tennis courts and all the rest, so I knew most things from the garden.
So it was quite a big estate with a wealthy family there.
Yes, there was a farm onto it as well.
Uh-huh. What was it called?
Oliver's.
Oliver's. Mm. That was the name of the estate, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all gone now, I imagine, is it?
No, it's still there, but it's changed hands now. It's no longer, the farm buildings are still there, but there's no more cattle there now. It's people who've got it now, I think, keep horses.
Right. And so you were working there when war broke out, were you?
Yes.
Lots of talk of war before it broke out. Did you imagine yourself being in the army or called up? Or
no.
No. You didn't think it would affect you all that much, I imagine?
No.
Yeah.
Well, on the day war broke out, it was my elder brother Gerald's birthday, 3rd of September. And we were playing golf. And we got nearly back to the clubhouse when a fellow golfer came up and told us that the war had started. And we went home and Mother was in tears. And Dad said, oh, you boys needn't worry. It'll be all over before you're old enough. How wrong he was.
Yeah. So the war started. And did your life change very much at first when the war started?
Not really. No. Dad was in the ARP. And my elder brother and myself were messengers.
Were you?
Yeah.
What messages did you take?
Well, if there was anything wrong in our area, we'd cycle to Painswick and report to HQ, anything like that, you know.
Yeah. So if that was what bombing or a plane or
Yes, anything that wanted reported.
Yeah. So you did that for several years, did you, before you were called up?
Oh, yes, yeah.
So did Payne's Wick...
I wasn't called up, actually.
Right.
I volunteered.
Did you? Yeah. You volunteered in 1942,
was it? Yeah. I had the King's Shilling.
Right. So why did you volunteer?
Well, before that, I was very interested in the Navy. And my school pal was also interested in the Navy. So we decided to go and join the Navy.
Right. So why were you interested in the Navy? What had... started this interest, because Painswick is a long way from the sea, isn't it?
Yeah, but I had one of my father's brothers did his time in the Navy, and hearing him talk about it and that, you know, I just fancied the Navy.
Right. Did you read books or magazines about the war or the Navy?
No, Dad told us his war stories because he was in the First World War.
Was he in the Navy or was he?
No, he was in the Army. He was in the Gloucestershire Regiment.
Right. Hmm. So you volunteered. Where did you go to volunteer?
We had to go to Worcester for the Navy.
Right. So how did you get to? You went to Worcester just to volunteer,
On the train, yeah.
Oh right. Yeah. In order to volunteer, or did
yes,
you
and we had our medical the same day.
Right. Okay. And was that to a recruiting office in Worcester? Was it or?
I can't rightly remember. Being a long time ago.
Yes. And what was your reception like? Were they pleased to sort of to have you turn up, as it were?
Well, I suppose they were, yes. But I failed my medical.
Did you?
Yes. My friend got in. He was all right. But I've always been skinny, you see. So, of course, as I was underage, it was calling up age, they said, you're not heavy enough for your height. Come back in 6 months, you see. Yeah.
So this was, what year was this, 41 was it, or?
42.
42, right, yeah. Beginning of 42, yeah.
So I came home very disappointed,
yeah.
Having my school pal going in the Navy. So I said to Mother and Dad, I think I'll try the, I'll go in the Army. So they weren't very keen, yeah. So I went down to the recruiting office in Stroud.
Right.
And saw the colour sergeant, mm-hmm. And he said, you want to go into the Army? And I said, yeah. What as? He said. I said, well, driver. Mm. He said, can you drive? And I said, no. Oh, I pity that. He said, they want drivers immediately.
Yeah.
So he said, my advice to you, he said, is to go in the training battalion, do your initial training, and then transfer to wherever you want to go. But it didn't work out like that.
Yeah. So you joined a training battalion, did you?
Yes. 70th Gloucestershire Regiment.
Right.
That was their training.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, I did 8 weeks at Gloucester.
Right.
Reservoir Camp.
Right. So you went to Reservoir Camp. So how did you get to the camp? Did you go on the train or...?
Well, I went over the Painswick Beacon on the Gloucester Road to catch
right.
the bus.
Yeah.
And... a friend of mine come along with a van and said, where are you going? I said, in the Army. He said, don't talk to that. I said, he took me right to the camp gates.
And what was it like arriving at the camp when they greeted you, I suppose?
Yes, I was a bit, you know, nervous, being only 18. Never left home before.
Yeah.
And, of course, you soon muck in with other people, you know.
Were there lots of other people starting that?
Oh,
day?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And where did they all come from?
Well, various places. My best friend came from Devon, Totnes.
Mm. And so on that first day, I suppose the sergeant and the corporals were there. They had to get, I imagine they got all these young men arriving, so they've got to get you all sorted out and uniformed
right.
and things.
Yeah.
Did they do that straight away? Or?
Oh, no, no. We were given the hut, hut L7. And then the next day they started kitting us out, you know, showing us around the camp and the guard room.
What was that first night like in Hut L7?
A bit restless, I think, yeah. Thinking about my bed at home.
Yeah.
But I soon settled down, really. Yeah. But I could never get on with army food.
Really?
No. It wasn't good. My mother was a professional cook.
Was she?
So I was used to very good food.
So what was the food like at Gloucester Camp?
Well, I suppose, as army camps go, it was all right, you know. Mm-hmm. But I never got on with it very well.
But you managed to eat it, did you? Or did you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I had to eat something. Or starve.
Yeah. So what training did you do there? I mean, they had to sort of... You all presumably didn't have any military experience, so they could start from scratch.
No, but living in the country, I was used to guns. Because Dad always had a shotgun. We were always out shooting rabbits and that sort of thing. So I was quite used to handling a gun.
So you were given a rifle?
Given a rifle, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had a big camp. They had two gymnasiums there. We spent a lot of time in there.
Did you?
Yeah. Road runs. And the rifle range was at Sneedham's Green. And we used to go out there on the rifle range. You could tell those that hadn't handled a gun before because they used to hit the ground just in front of them.
But you were all
instead
right
of the target.
You?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Were you quite a good shot?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
So lots of fitness.
Sorry?
Lots of fitness training.
Oh, yes, yeah. A lot of that. Road runs. And then, of course, we started on drill then.
And how easy was that?
Well, it wasn't too bad, really, because one of our schoolmasters was in the First World War, and he used to take us for drill, they called it. And so we used to do the left turns, right turns, about turns, and he used to give us all that. So that came naturally to me.
Because some people find it difficult, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, that's right, yes, yeah.
Did they shout at you a lot? Were they sort of quite abusive verbally?
Oh, no, not like they show you on television these days. I mean, that's a load of rubbish. No, they treat us kindly. I mean, you have to behave yourselves, you know.
Do you remember any of the NCOs by name now?
No.
But they were quite nice people, were they?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Were they mostly quite old soldiers who'd been in the First World War, or were they...
No, I shouldn't think so. No. They couldn't be very old because they had to run around after you, you know.
So you were at a reservoir camp for 8 weeks.
8 weeks, yeah.
And did you feel like a real soldier when you'd finished that?
Yes, yeah. I thought I could handle a gun, I could drill, you know. Yeah.
And did you have any? Did you do any other weapons apart from the rifle at Gloucester?
No.
And did you have any idea where you'd be going after that?
I haven't a clue.
Right.
No.
So were people being sent to different battalions then, were they, as reinforcements or...?
No, we were already in the 70th Gloucesters. We were in D Company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And from Gloucester, we... marched into Gloucester and got on board the train. Didn't know where we were going. Anyway, we went... where did we go first?
You're right, you said.
Yeah. We went down to Yeovilton.
Oh.
Royal Naval Air Station.
Mm-hmm.
Was going in the Navy again then.
Yeah.
And... we were guarding the Royal Naval Air Station,
right.
D Company.
Right, so what sort of a place was that? A bit of a change from...
Oh, yes. We had Nissen huts all around the perimeter, various spots. And we had a Scorpion, which was a twin machine Lewis guns. And you could sit in there on a swivel seat for anti-aircraft fire, you know.
So they had to teach you how to use that. First
yes,
all,
yeah.
So and then, what was the Scorpion like? I haven't heard about one of those. Tell me what.
I think
like.
That's what they call them. Mm. It was like a little turret with four wheels on, like a little trailer. There was nothing towing it. It was static there, and you sat in there with the gun, with the big circular magazine on the top, and you just waited for a German to come. And then we did a patrol on the road with their rifles. We stood on the road, and of course us youngsters, we kept dropping off to sleep, so we used to stand with a bayonet under her chin, and if her head dropped we'd stick in her neck so we'd wake up again.
And you were doing that round the clock, were you? In shifts or?
Yes, yeah. But we did other training as well. That was chiefly at night we did the guard outside.
And what sort of other training did you do?
Oh, all kinds. We used to go on manoeuvres. Mm-hmm. One knot used to be in red, marked, and you know, and you were supposed to be fighting one another with blank ammunition.
And did you learn a lot of battlefield tactics there?
Oh, yes. Yes. You'd have to go some way away, and then you had to crawl towards the sergeant. You knew where he was. And whenever he spotted you, you were finished, you see. So it was, you were determined. You'd get there last, you know. It was a mucky job because you know, streams and rivers and all that sort of thing. We didn't have to cross it. There was a river there, but we didn't have to cross that. But it's quite enjoyable, really.
Was it?
Yes.
Because you're into the summer now, aren't you? So.
Yeah, our Nissenut was in an orchard. And you kept me awake all night with the apples dropping off the trees onto the tin hut.
So D Company, you must have been, you knew each other very well by now, hadn't you? You've been together for a while.
Yes, but there was, as I said, there was Nissenuts all the way round, and it was a big area, and so you knew just your little gang, you see. Your company office was a quarter of a mile away, and the cookhouse, we had to march down there and march back, and all the offices were down there, and we just had this little hut. Yeah.
Do you remember any of the officers?
I remember the sergeant.
Do you? What was his name?
Well, I can't remember his name, but he was a tyke, he was.
Was he?
Yeah. He wouldn't stand any nonsense, and yet he was a very, very nice chappy when you got to know him. Yes, he was very good to me because one night I was on guard, and I had this pain in my side. And the chappy was on guard with me, and he said, "You've got appendicitis." He said, "I've had it, I know what it's like, you see." So he said, "I'm going to tell the sergeant." This was in the middle of the night. So he went and told the sergeant, and the sergeant got up and came out and says, "You're in trouble," and I told him. So he said to my friend, "Take him over to the naval air station and see someone over there." So I went over, and they went in the sick bay, and they had to ring around to get a doctor to come and see me. Anyway, he was a lieutenant, came and he prodded and poked, you know. He said, "I think we better take you up, send you up to the hospital." And they had their own little hospital. It was a big country house, Kingston Manor, it was called. And I went in there and prodded and poked again. And I was in there for quite a while, and I couldn't find out what it was. Surgeon commander would come round every morning, and he prodded and poked and said, "Give an enema." Next morning, did the same thing. Next morning, the same thing. And very often, he is the operating theatre was just next to our ward, and he'd finish operating. He'd come out there with his rubber apron on, covered in blood, and have a walk round. Yes, and then one day he said, "I think what you want now is some exercise." So they got me, it was a country house, there was a big lawn out the front. I was out there rolling the lawn. Yeah.
So it wasn't appendicitis.
Friends were very nice there.
So it wasn't actually appendicitis then?
Or? No, it gradually went.
Yeah. So were casualties coming into this hospital on the station then?
No.
No, it was just local.
Well, it'd be late at night as well.
Yeah. But they, when the chap you said described the surgeon commander coming out after being operating, that wasn't casualties coming back from the war.
Oh, no, it was
people stationed.
Naval personnel.
Right.
Because there was a lot on that air station.
Yeah. So how long did you stay at Yeovilton?
Oh, I can't remember exactly. We were there for some while. And then we got moved from there. And we had to go to, we went down to Ilfracombe under canvas.
Right.
It was up on the banks from Ilfracombe, like, you know.
Up on the cliffs.
Yeah, yeah. We could go down when we were off duty. We used to walk down into Ilfracombe.
Right. And what were you doing there? What was your job?
More training.
More training?
Yeah, yeah.
And what sort of training was this?
Well, I got moved, when I moved down there, I got put in the HQ company, and it was still attached to D company, but it was, you know, and we used to go out and pretend to have aircraft over and shooting and all that, aircraft recognition, you know, besides other training.
And what sort of anti-aircraft guns were you using there?
Just a rifle.
Just the rifle?
Yeah.
Right.
Just carried a rifle.
Yeah.
And of course, we also trained on the Bren gun, anti-tank rifle. Mm-hmm. We got ginned up on those. You had to strip it down, clean it, strip, you know, put it back together until you could do it with your eyes shut. We stayed there for some considerable time, and after which we were up anchor again, and we went down to Houndstone Camp in Yeovil. It belonged
Houndstone.
To Houndstone. Yeah. It belonged to the Royal Army Service Corps, and when we got down there, we were informed that our regiment was going to be disbanded and you will be sent to various regiments. So then told to watch the notice boards for your postings. So every time there was a new posting up, there was a beeline, you know, to see whether you were going. Anyway, this one particular day, my name was up there with, I just forget how many it was. Then we had to go up to Fifeshire in Scotland.
Did you know why you were going there?
No. We had a rumour that it was mercantile marine. But I mean, that was a lot of rubbish. That was just somebody made up, I think. Mm. Anyway, we went up to London. We got up to London, and the sergeant said, "No, there's a train tonight to Edinburgh, or there's one tomorrow morning to Edinburgh. Do you want to spend the night in London? Or do you want to go?" "Oh, well, I want to spend the night in London." So we stayed in London, and we stayed on King's Cross Station, and we slept on the left luggage racks. That's where we slept that night.
Did you go out and see the sights of
London? Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, it was blackout. It was a real job to find your way around, because I'd never been to London.
Did you manage to get yourselves a drink, or...?
Yes, we never did have a lot of money.
What was the atmosphere like in the pubs and in London at that time? Was it being bombed at that time? Or?
Not really, no. Well, it was, I suppose that's normal. But we didn't stray too far, you know, because we'd get lost. Anyway, next morning we got on board the train for Edinburgh. And we got up to Edinburgh and found we had to change trains. And get one up to Fifeshire, I can't remember the name of the station. And we had to go over the Forth Bridge. Mm-hmm. I've been over that a few times. And then we got picked up there, I think, by one of our lorries. Took us to a little village called Leslie.
Oh.
It's on the map. Mm-hmm. And that was our HQ, and that was number 2 Regiment, Maritime.
Oh, right. Yeah. So say you didn't know, even know what number 2 Regiment Maritime meant at first.
No. And the next morning we went down to the office and the Sergeant Major came out and he said, let me have your IB 64 Part 1s. Do you know what they are? No, that's the Army, your identity book tells you everything in there, all your injections and everything. So, and your leave. So he looked at them, he said, you're all due for leave, he said. He says, no good, you start your training, he said. So after coming all the way from Yeovil up to Fletcher, I came all the way back to Painswick on leave. So I made the most of that leave because we didn't know what was coming, you know.
What did your mum think of you now? You were a grown-up soldier all of a sudden.
Oh, she never did like me being in the army. But I didn't mind it really, I suppose. But that part of it was all right. Anyway, we got back and then we got posted to Portobello. Oh. It's just outside Edinburgh.
Oh, right.
And there, a gunnery school there. Oh, and before me time, we got kitted out at Leith.
Leslie.
Yeah. And you never see such kit in all your life. We had a complete army kit, all your naval kit, including the hammock, sea boots, and all the naval stuff, except naval uniform, of course. We still kept our army uniform. Tropical kit, complete with topi and all shorts and all that. Civilian clothes. That was in case you the ship happened to go to a neutral port, or you were a prisoner of war, taken off the ship. You know, if you had civilian clothes on, you were all right. But if you went to another country in uniform, you'd be interned. So we always had the civilian clothes to wear. We used to wear it on board ship because there's nobody's any different. We could have been a merchant seaman. So we did our gunnery course there.
Right. And what sort of guns were you using there?
What did they train you on? Orlikans. Mm-hmm. I showed you the photograph of that. That was the Orlikan. That had a magazine on which held 60 of those.
Oh, right.
Those two souvenirs I brought back.
Yeah. What sort of shells are those?
20mm cannon. Inch. Yeah. And they had a Bofors gun there, but we didn't go on that one. And then after doing the gunnery course, and you had to strip that gun down and put it back together, more or less with your eyes shut, you know. You could really do, when you left there, you could really do it.
You were good instructors, were they?
Oh, yes.
They were naval instructors, were they?
Or no, Army, yes. And from there, we went to Leith. That's quite close. It's still in Edinburgh. To do a seamanship course.
You knew what was coming now, didn't you?
Oh, yes, we were on Leith docks.
Right. And what was it? What's in a seamanship course?
Tying knots, rowing, you name it, you know, we had to go at it, like, you know. And then I suppose they thought we were fit enough to go to sea. They said, now you will be posted to a port where you will pick up a ship and you will relieve the gunners that are on the ship and you will take over and that's it.
Had you had any live firing practice with the Orlikans?
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, I missed that bit out, didn't I? Yeah. We went down to, from Portobello. We went a little way down the coast. I'll have to think of it in a minute. And there's an aircraft towed a sleeve. You know these long sleeves,
yeah.
Like they have a...
Yeah. Air windsocket,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Windsock. Towing that, and you were firing this Orlikan gun, you know. I was told I was too close to the plane. He said, "You haven't got to shoot the damn thing down." And well, that was quite fun. That was, you know, being behind a bigger gun like that.
And how many? What was the team on that gun? How many people?
Oh, you only needed two, really. Yeah, but not when you're training like that, because you didn't have to reload. But these magazines, you see, you took the empty magazine off and put a new one on, and they held 60 rounds, and they're quite heavy. And you had a stand to put them on, and a ratchet, and you put 60 pounds pressure on. So that's what made the shells come out, the pressure behind them.
And you got quite quick at reloading and everything, or reloading the magazine.
Oh yes, yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So how long were you at Portobello at the gunnery school? Quite a long time? Or?
No, a matter of weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then at Leith?
Leith is about this, or even less. Right. Yeah.
Did you know much about ships and going on a ship by the time you finished that seamanship course?
Oh yes, yeah.
Because all the names for things are different, aren't they? And the officers' ranks are different. Did they teach you all that? Yeah, because in the Navy they use different words for things.
Yeah,
they?
But we were never attached to the Navy in any way.
Right.
The so ships we were on were merchant Navy, you see.
Right.
They were officers, chief mate, second mate, third mate, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So the seamanship course, was that run by the Navy or by the merchant Navy?